I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 489. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture, hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. My whole heart behind this podcast is to inspire you to discover and meditate on God's Word for yourself. And you'll get the most out of everything by listening and then interacting with the Bible for yourself. So to help with that, I've created an episode guide. Grab your episode 489 guide at michellenezat.com/489download. And if you've already subscribed to my email list, this guide is already in your inbox. I love exploring the attributes of God, and Toby Mack's song Faithfully points us directly to an attribute of God expounded on throughout Scripture. It actually kind of makes it hard to pick a place to study, but isn't that part of what makes God so amazing? He doesn't hide his faithfulness. Now, I did narrow down my study a bit, and before we get to that, though, let's listen.
But when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully.
When you listen to the lyrics of the verses of this song, you understand that Toby Mack is coming from a very hard place. He says, it's been a long year. It almost took me down, I swear. Life was so good. I'm not sure we knew what we had. I'll never be the same man. I'll never feel like I felt before. It's been a hard year. It almost took me down. Now, upon further exploration, I ran across a video where Toby explains that he wrote this song after his son's tragic death. And he talks about how personal it is and that he didn't collaborate with anyone on this song because it was so personal. I'm going to go ahead and link to the story behind the song video in the show notes if you're interested in watching it there. But the song really says it all. In all circumstances, even the tragically hard ones, God is there faithfully. So it's God's faithfulness I wanted to explore. And here's some of what I discovered. You know, even though we have one English word for faithful, the Hebrew and Greek words, they use a variety of words to describe faithfulness. And all of those words that they use to describe faithfulness are closely linked to the truthfulness of God as well. But I'm getting ahead of myself. If you want to follow along with my thinking so that you can complete a study like this on your own in the future, I want to back up a little bit. And while I want to share truth with you, what I really want to do is to have you try these kinds of things on your own. So I often try to kind of explain my way of thinking so that you could replicate the process. And it's my heart's desire that you discover and meditate on God's word for yourself. So we've already taken the bite of choosing a topic to explore. Now, BITE is an acronym, B-I-T-E, Bible Interaction Tool Exercise. And these are just habits that I use to keep my time in God's word varied. And exploring a topic is a bite I try to take sparingly, to be honest, because I prefer to study in larger chunks of Scripture. And when you explore a topic, you tend to bounce around a little bit. But even though we're going to explore a topic, we're going to do that by looking at a larger chunk of Scripture too. So that way we can do the thing that I like to do, which is study a larger chunk of Scripture and explore a topic as well. But the next bite is to define the word. So in English, that's what I'm talking about. I'm asking you to look it up in a dictionary. Now, I realize the original text was written in Hebrew and Greek, but the translators have chosen this English word as the best word that they know to properly express the Hebrew or Greek meaning. So starting there is a good idea, looking it up and understanding what that English word means. Plus, when I say someone has been faithful, you might think of it in negative terms, like not cheating, or you might think of it in positive terms, like loyal. And while both are true, you're coming up with that kind of gut reaction because of how you view the world. And that comes from your history and from your personal experience, not always a faulty place to start, but most likely an incomplete picture. So when I look up faithful in the dictionary, I see this: remaining loyal and steadfast, true to the facts or the original, dependable, able to be relied on, determined or passionate in one's beliefs, interests, or endeavors, firmly established, and difficult or unlikely to change. Now, this is consistent with what I thought of if I were to try to define the word on my own, although it's always sometimes tricky for me to do that. Does that ever happen to you? You know what it means, but you just can't come up with the right words to explain it. So when I look up the concept of faithfulness in my Logos Bible software, though, I see something else. Faithfulness is an attribute of God and can be an attribute of people. Now, this is the difference between communicable attributes and incommunicable attributes. So that's just a fancy way of saying that some things are only true of God, incommunicable attributes. He's all-knowing, for example. Even if you're a mom, you are not all-knowing. Don't tell my kids. But omniscience, or being all-knowing, is an incommunicable attribute, meaning as humans, we cannot have that attribute. But because we are made in the image of God, there are many attributes of God that we can display. In fact, that He wants us to display. These are communicable attributes, and faithfulness is one of those. So while we're going to focus on God's faithfulness today, remember that whatever you learn about His faithfulness should be on full display in your life as well. So back to what my Logos Bible software says about it. It says, faithfulness of God's perfect loyalty and consistency in being true to His name, His character, and His word, and as a designation of Christians, means full of faith, trustful, and not simply trustworthy. So full of trust, not just simply trustworthy. Now, God is faithful, and we are to be faithful. And the more I dug around, though, as I mentioned, the more I couldn't get away from the link between faithfulness and truthfulness. In fact, one systematic theology resource identified the attribute of God as His veracity. And so when I take the bite of looking up that word in the dictionary, I see it means the state or quality of being true, the state or quality of being accurate or in accordance with the facts, the ability or trustworthiness of someone in telling the truth. So it's no wonder that we see Jesus with both of these titles. In Revelation 19:11, it says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True." Now, in Systematic Theology by Louis Burkhoff, we read this: "There is still another aspect of this divine perfection, and one that is always regarded as of the greatest importance. It is generally called His faithfulness, in virtue of which He is ever mindful of His covenant and fulfills all the promises which He has made to His people. This faithfulness of God is of the utmost practical significance to the people of God. It is the ground of their confidence, the foundation of their hope, and the cause of their rejoicing. It saves them from the despair to which their own unfaithfulness might easily lead, gives them courage to carry on in spite of their failures, and fills their hearts with joyful anticipations, even when they are deeply conscious of the fact that they have forfeited all the blessings of God." God's faithfulness saves us from the despair. And this leads us back to our song and into where I really want to spend the rest of our time. So I wanted to study a psalm that talked about the faithfulness of God. I realize that the Bible is a big book and that, again, we could have gone practically anywhere to examine His faithfulness. We could have hopped around if we wanted to. Again, just following any number of threads that span the Bible. But the psalms are wonderful to study because A, they are songs themselves. And B, they seem to sing about the same things we sing about today. And then C, they always point us back to God and often reveal Him in profound ways. Now, in the Logos Bible software, there is a tool called the Psalms Explorer. It's one of the most visually pleasing tools that they have. After I got a few tips from my new friend John over at Logos, I was able to harness the power of this tool even more. In fact, John and I just held a webinar. If you are interested in watching the replay, I've posted it on my YouTube. There are also some links to some special discounts if you catch it in time. So my YouTube channel is Michelle Neesat TV, and you can go watch that webinar replay, and you'll see that Psalms Explorer kind of in action. But when you choose the Psalms Explorer, it will sort the Psalms in a variety of ways, including genre and author and theme and structure. And so for my purposes in my study, I wanted to see different psalms that included the theme of God's faithfulness. So there are 56 psalms that include this theme. Most were then subcategorized into lament and praise. There were a couple of wisdom and others like that. But my eye was drawn to three psalms subcategorized as thanksgiving. Now, coming off of episode 488, I have been on the hunt to find things to be thankful for and record them. And so naturally, I leaned into those psalms at this time in my life. So then, how did I choose between Psalm 30, 34, or 40? Well, I've done some podcasts on Psalm 30 and 34. And so I picked Psalm 40. It was just really as simple as that. You don't overthink where you're going to study in scripture. Just pick a spot and dive in. And then why would the software indicate God's faithfulness is a theme of Psalm 40? Well, because of verses 10 and 11. It says, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. I love that. You have been unrestrained in your goodness toward me, so I will be unrestrained in my witness of you. But for our purposes today, three times in two verses, God's faithfulness is mentioned. So let's take the bite of studying in context. Now, we've chosen a psalm, which is nice, because to study the context of a psalm is just merely to study the psalm itself. It doesn't do you any good to study additional psalms flanking it because they are individual songs or individual poems. And this psalm is only 17 verses, so it's easier to take the bite than, you know, maybe some that have 70 verses or more, or other areas of scripture which may require a bit more reading to take in the full context. So let's jump in at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Now, this is consistent with our song lyrics. It says, when I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. And I love the word picture here in the psalm. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, for Yahweh, and he inclined to me. Now, the word here for inclined could mean what I always thought, that God bent down or kind of leaned in. But when I took the bite of completing a word study, which is to look up the word in the original language, I use Logos Bible software, but BibleHub.com is a free site where you can look up a word and see the Strong's listing and see the Strong's dictionary. We learn that inclined in this verse is to be in a state of engagement in a relationship. So David, who wrote Psalm 40, says he cried out to God, and in response, God leaned in to engage in relationship with him. This characteristic is of our faithful God. He leans in the midst of our pain, and he engages with us. He's not distant. In fact, the psalm ends with verse 17, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. For God to take thought of us is to give careful thought or to consideration of something, to really see. The Lord really sees us in our pain, and he wants to engage with us. And after leaning in to engage with us, God takes further action. Let's keep reading verses 2 and 3. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. He drew, he set, he made, he put. Yahweh is active in delivering us. Now, where was David? He was stuck. He was in a pit. And God's active response was to draw him up out of the pit and set his feet on a rock, making his steps secure. It even talks about the miry bog. I mean, it's like a, you know, he pulled him out. He got him unstuck. Our Savior, known as faithful and true, has done that for us. We were in the pit of sin. We were stuck in iniquity. God draws us out and makes our steps secure on the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. And because of this deliverance, we can sing the new song that God himself puts in our mouth. But not just for us, so that we can be a witness, to give testimony to the faithful God we serve. This is taking the bite of sharing with a friend, so that, as the psalmist said, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And then after they put their trust in the Lord, they're going to be blessed. Verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go away or go astray after a lie. And then there's this. Yeah, don't tell me God isn't engaged, right? That he's not thinking of us. Because in verse 5, it says, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more that can, they are more than can be told. He thinks of us and he acts, and his acts are wondrous. And then we come to the messianic portion of this psalm. When I was looking at the psalm in my Logos Bible software, it showed many more themes than God's faithfulness, and it had a tag that said it was messianic, meaning it points to the coming Messiah and is fulfilled by Christ. And so Psalm 40 verses 6 through 8 says, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written or is within my heart. Now, I actually chased a rabbit here because in verse 6, David says, you've given me an open ear. And I had heard it taught that an open ear here referred to the custom of boring a slave's ear, like as a physical representation of binding a slave to the master. And that comes from Exodus 21, verse 6, when it says, then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Now, I had heard it taught that because this section of scripture referred to Christ or is messianic, which again, I'll show you in a minute, that it was a picture of Christ binding himself as a slave to God. Philippians 2:7 says he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant or a slave. Some translations say a bond servant, being born in the likeness of men. But honestly, almost every commentary I referenced said that it was more likely a recognition that God had given David the ability to hear and obey the word of God. So when you hear, I open my ears, that it's really all about opening his ears to hear and obey. So the study Bible, the CSB study Bible says the phrase open my ears to listen literally means dig or hollow out my ears for me. It's a symbol of being attentive to the Lord in order to obey him. And I love the study Bible also offered this like contrast. So the opposite of closed or uncircumcised ears. And Jeremiah 6:10 says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. So that's kind of like a contrast. We compare and contrast is another bite as well. So the study Bible notes offers that to us. Now, a direct contrast to verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. So again, dig out my closed up ears. Let me see what that while you have required sacrifice by your law, that you want the act of obedience to come from a cheerful heart. And the Bible Knowledge Commentary says that verses 6 through 8 takes on a greater significance because it's cited in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer contrasts Christ's perfect obedience with the insufficiency of the Mosaic sacrifices. And the words are applied to Christ's incarnation to fulfill God's purpose for him as prescribed in the book. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 10, 5 through 7 together. It says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So it's true of David, it can be true of us, and was fulfilled in Christ, and that's what makes it messianic. But let's keep reading in the psalm. So at David's cry, God bends over and engages with him and takes action. He delivers him. He gets him unstuck. And what is David's response? Well, verse 9 says, I've told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. So David tells of the glad news. He speaks it out loud. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't conceal it. He tells the great congregation, not just his small group, right? So go big or go home, right? Now, I want you to finish out making observations with the rest of the psalm. We're running out of time today. But before we do run out of time, I want to spend a little bit more, a few more moments on the faithfulness of God as displayed in this psalm. Now, any action that God takes in this psalm is a reflection of his faithfulness. God is all of his attributes all of the time. He isn't sometimes faithful. He's always faithful. So all of his actions reflect all of his attributes at all times. So his plucking us from the mire and setting our feet on the secure rock is a reflection of his faithfulness. And so is Christ fulfilling what is said about him. And again, all of God's attributes are also true of each other. And this part blows my mind. So God's deliverance is an act of faithfulness, and God's salvation is an act of faithfulness. And so when we speak of the faithfulness of God, it is inextricably linked to his veracity, to his truthfulness. But we also see here that it is linked to his deliverance and his salvation. Like we read in verse 10, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. But God's faithfulness is also merciful. It's freely given, it's not withheld, and it's linked to God's hesed, his steadfast love. And we see here that God's faithfulness, again, delivers and saves, but it also preserves. Verse 11, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. So if you're stuck, if you can't see a way out, cry out to God. He is faithful to engage with your story. He really sees you. He is faithful to help and deliver and preserve you. And in the words of Psalm 40, verse 16, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. So what's next? Well, spend some time in Psalm 40. Look for the attributes of God, specifically his faithfulness. And just remember that any attribute that you uncover is true of each other. So his deliverance is faithful. His faithfulness delivers. take a trip over to Hebrews 10 to see how Jesus fulfills parts of this psalm. And then follow David's lead and share what you've learned with a friend. Don't keep the glad news of God's deliverance to yourself. And then while you're in God's Word, let me know how you're doing. You can email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Instagram @michellenezat. My public Facebook page is Michelle L. Nezat, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. You can check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And again, don't forget to grab that episode guide that I created, michellenezat.com/489download. Now, with that in mind, I want to thank my newest subscribers who've subscribed lately, like Todd from Nebraska and Christina from Florida, Laura from the UK, Michael from the UK, Alicia from North Dakota, Toby from Louisiana, Ennis from Nigeria, Hannah from Indonesia, and Emily from Washington. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you have not left a review yet, please do that in your favorite podcast app or software. Or if you want links to those places, you can go to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring I Believe by Phil Wickham to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, X, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/489. And while you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.